Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We're hanging out until midnight. Dylan McKinnon's producing. So fascinating to watch the way that this conversation continues to shift, right? Because I know that there are a lot of people who, like, first of all, will either love hockey or will never be interested in hockey ever, right? Like, I understand that. But I'm more interested in, like, that middle cross-section. Is there a group where it's performance-based? Because the Flyers are performing. Like, yeah, it's a super tight metropolitan division, so who knows how the whole thing's going to go in terms of, like, the, like, actual standings. But with 22 games left, they're kind of in the driver's seat a little bit of at least their own destinies. So for me, like, if there was a time where you're like, yeah, you know what, I'm just waiting for them to be good, I'm like, well, this is kind of it. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torty, at 97.5 The Fanatic. Can also connect with Dylan McKinnon at Dylan F. McKinnon on Twitter. Let's go to Drew next on 97.5. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, Joe. First time caller.
Welcome.
And I just want to reiterate again, super glad somebody's talking about it. You know, it's been a lot of years since we've been relevant, and it's I think understandable that the passive Philly sports fan has not been excited about the Flyers, but, like, I think it's time to get excited.
So what do you think the difference is this year? Like, why is it that, like, that casual fan should be in now?
I mean, if nothing else, I think it's to buy in early. I was at the game tonight, and I want to make a little shout-out real quick. My girlfriend Allison bought us tickets to the game tonight for me for Valentine's Day, and this is our second time being up in the assembly room section, and she actually got us the seat. It's a Revolutionary Row or whatever.
Hey, that's great work.
It's great. You're, like, on top of the action. My favorite seats have always been, like, against the wall, center ice, and we were above that tonight, center ice.
Fantastic.
And it was awesome to watch the game there. But at one point, left my seat during a commercial break and went to the bathroom, came back, saw Ivan Provorov on the ice. Russian machine never breaks, man. He came back. He almost got that goal that got overturned. Say what you will about the officiating. Could have gone either way. I kind of feel like with Joel Farabee getting his leg in there. But this team, they've got these guys that have been around for a while. And we've been waiting for this organization to get guys around them. And they haven't done anything about it. But they've grown this farm system to the point where you've got Farabee, obviously, he had the interference call, so Provorov's goal got taken away, but you've got him in there. You had, obviously, you know, you want to hope for their health first off, but you've got guys like Lindblom and Nolan Patrick, who may or may not come back this year, but it kind of looks like he might show up late. And if he comes back and can play a fourth-line center role, I don't see any problem with that. And it's going to do nothing but bolster a lineup with guys that they brought in. Like,
well, yeah, Drew, and thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I think that the problem is, though, in terms of capturing those people that are like the casuals, right, is that that's still not sizzle. You know what I mean? Even if it is steak, that's still not sizzle where, you know, you've got Nolan Patrick who hasn't been around the team. Well, that's not fair. Hasn't been in the lineup for months. You know, where you've got Joel Farabee, who literally people are just getting introduced to now. You know, like Ivan Provorov, yes. I think that you look at what he's done over the course of his fourth year, fifth year. I mean, he has not been around all that long. And he's been really impressive and locked up to a deal, right? So now when I look, this is his fourth season. He's 23. Really good. Is that star power that like drags in someone the way that Zion would, or that Ben Simmons would, or that Joel Embiid would, or that Carson Wentz would, or that Bryce Harper would? I think they're still just not quite there. It might take the Flyers have always had to not only have a high standard in order to compete, but they have a higher standard than anybody in terms of attracting people to the game. You almost have to win a Stanley Cup or be right on the verge of winning it to get people to really stand up and pay attention. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Let's go to Jim in Havertown next on the Fanatic. Hey, Jim.
Cuz, I disagree with your last statement, man. I'm high on the Flyers. I'm loving that they're going to make the playoffs more than likely. I mean, there's six teams fighting for four spots, and you know, obviously their percentages are with us that we're going to be one of them, and especially with Elaine Vigneault, and especially with the young talent. And I also disagree with you. I think Konechny is just up there with the rest of the people you just named. He's not a step behind, maybe. He's a half a step behind, maybe. What do you think?
Well, so let me ask you this, Jim, because like, yeah. I'm glad to hear that you like that. Yeah. You're a fan of what they're doing. Do you think that your mindset is representative of the majority of the city?
No, not the majority of the city, because the majority of the city are not all year, every year Flyers fans.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's obvious, though, brother.
No, what I'm saying is how you attract like the casual Philly sports fan who like is almost paying attention to the Flyers
by making the playoffs and going past the first round.
Exactly,
they haven't done that. Yeah, right.
So we don't disagree. Yeah. We're speaking the same language.
No, we're not. Yeah, right. I totally agree with you. The only thing I'm saying is that what's the name? Konechny is possibly a transcendent player, but if I can speak that word.
Transcendent. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah. Because, dude, he's young, and, you know, I was hoping he was going to be a Danny Briere, and I had my doubts about him in the beginning. But, yeah, right now I'm back on board with thinking he's possibly, I'm not saying he definitely is, but he's possibly another Danny Briere, brother.
No, I mean, that would be tremendous.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah, Briere was great.
Yeah, that would work out. Jim, thanks, man. Appreciate it. I don't know if I would use transcendent for Konechny. I mean, think about who the transcendent players really are, right? Like, I mean, Patrick Kane and Ovechkin and Malkin and Crosby and McDavid. Like, there's not a ton. Is he in that group? Now, he could be. Could work his way up to it. But I don't know. For me, I still there's room that needs to grow in terms of that happening and that being locked into the star attraction of the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, it's possible. By the way, if Travis Konechny becomes any of those guys, you take a massive step towards attracting that casual fan that we're talking about. But like Jim's saying, like, you know, the people who pay attention to the team know how impressive this season's been and know how much more there still could be to come in terms of a playoff series and stuff like that. There's still a lot of time between now and then, 22 games. But it's not necessarily about like the hardcore Flyers fans or even people who have been locked into the Flyers all season just this year. It's how do you catch the people who aren't paying attention? Garrett in Newtown's next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Garrett.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. I definitely agree with what you're saying about this team. they're kind of in the stage right now where, you know, this past offseason we made a lot of really good pickups, but they were kind of, you know, under the radar type of pickups. It wasn't that big splash like the Phillies did with Bryce Harper and, you know, the Sixers did with a couple of their trades and signs in the last couple of years. But overall, you know, I really like this team's direction. You know, some of our younger players are starting to really step up. I love Carter Hart in goal. You were talking about Travis Konecki. You know, he becomes anything close to what they're expecting him to be. He could be somebody that could really help us draw that big, you know, free agent to Philadelphia, because I really feel like that's the piece that we're missing to get those fans that are kind of on the border of, you know, jumping back onto this team's bandwagon. Aren't quite there yet.
So what level of free agent is that, right? Because you look at what they paid for, like, Kevin Hayes to get him here. And it's like, you know, if my opinion, Garrett, is that they should have been, if there was a possibility that Stamkos was going to leave Tampa, that might have been the one. But, like, is there somebody that you've looked at and thought that that's a guy that would really put the butts in the seats?
That's tough because, you know, it really, that would depend on these other players that we have and where their development ends up at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I thought Stamkos would have been the perfect person to bring in as far as, you know, somebody that could help, you know, not only scoring goals, but just generating that buzz overall, like Bryce Harper was for the
right
team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure what big names are available at the end of the season. But I think the biggest thing that they could do is bring in somebody that is a goal scorer that maybe not, like you were saying earlier, an all elite talent, because those, you know, types of players are somebody that's going to eat up a lot of our salary cap and, you know, might prohibit us from signing some of the, you know, role players that we have.
Sure.
But somebody that's, you know, an all-star that can bring us that, you know, I think the big thing they're missing is that pure, like, goal scorer. I mean, you look at their players that are tops in points right now, and you don't really have that pure goal scorer. You know, you have Giroux, who's more of a all-around playmaker. You know, Konecki, who's kind of in the same boat. If they could get a guy like that who can come in and just be that, you know, almost like Ovechkin is to the Capitals, where, like, you know, if he's by the net, he's going to get the puck. You need to be that exciting goal scorer.
Sure, yep.
You know, our guy on power plays. If they could get that, I think the casual fan would, you know, come back around to really like this team. You know, I think they're kind of in the same boat the Phillies were in, like, 2006, 2007, before they made the World Series run, where they made a couple big moves, where they have a lot of pieces in place, and they just need to make that one last, you know, big signing to make them a team that would be a force to be reckoned with moving forward.
Garrett, gotcha, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I think off the top of my head, the two big goal-scoring free agents, and I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody obvious, Taylor Hall is probably the prize of the free agent class, and then Chris Kreider, you know, who was not traded by the Rangers. So, or, I mean, there's still time, but the reports are that he will not be traded. That could change. But other than that, you've got defenders. And then you've got Nicholas Backstrom, who I'd be shocked if he were to leave Washington. I feel like that's kind of like a for-life situation. I don't know. Taylor Hall might do it. Especially if he took that next step in his development here, as opposed to, you know, being somewhere else. But I think that's interesting. I think that is, you know, Garrett's on to it, where it's like attracting a top-level, top-flight guy might be the necessary step for, like, how you take that next, that leap into the subconscious of the Philly sports fan. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Actually, D-Train, just for a matter of example, could we pull up the Kevin Hayes post-game stuff that's in tomorrow's folder? Because, like, this is an example of, like, you listen to, and this is not to pick on hockey players in general, but, like, what Kevin Hayes said post-game and what he was saying in the locker room and stuff like that, like, is about as fiery and inspiring as hockey players often allow themselves to be caught by the media being. There are, you know, you look at what Bryce Harper, when he addresses the media, what the reaction is. When Joel Embiid does it, what the reaction is. And Malcolm Jenkins and Brandon Graham and Carson Wentz. You know, it's just a little bit different when hockey players do it, and you don't get that that necessarily star treatment. Here's Kevin Hayes.
I honestly don't think it was one of our best games. Obviously, the score doesn't say that, but we should be better next game. And I know I know we scored 5 goals, but I think we definitely didn't have our A game. Got some puck luck, and it's a huge 2 points.
Right. So, like, that is, you got everything, right? You got monotone. You got cliches. You got, you know, disappointment after a 5-1 win in some respects. Now, hockey fans out there, myself included, are like, yeah, you're absolutely right. You admire that kind of approach. But it's far from the kind of, like, quote-unquote star power interviews and star power press conferences that you see elsewhere across sports. It's just an uphill battle for hockey. Now, hockey players, hockey fans, teams, organizations, etc., are well equipped to deal with this. One, because there's a lot of hardcore hockey fans out there, and two, because they've been fighting this uphill battle for a long time to begin with. But that's kind of the situation that we're looking at there. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. D-Train, you think that there is a situation where the Flyers could potentially capture, like, the man on the street in the same way that if you're not a big basketball fan or a big baseball fan, that the Phillies and Sixers can grab you every once in a while?
I think if they make the playoffs and go on a run, people will get into it. I don't know if this season, if people will get that into it until it seems like, okay, this is a team that can go on a run and win it. But once the team gets going, and if the team's staying competitive, like really competitive, like the Phillies when they had Utley, Rollins, and Howard type of competitive, I think the common fan will get into it. I don't think they'll be super, super into it, but there'll be fans who are talking about it. You might see some Flyers stuff when you walk around the city in that case. If they become a team that, okay, this is a team that can win it. That hasn't been a situation for the Flyers in a while, though.
Right. You have to know whether this is a team that's legitimately dangerous or taking more steps forward, or if they're, you know, another also-ran team that we've seen before, although, you know, not looking as impressive as they have so far this season. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Paul tweets in, I've always been a Dayton Flyers fan. Nice. The Flyers' star power slash winning situation, like that's, I would bet that St. Louis, not necessarily all Blues all the time. But if the Blues are winning the Stanley Cup, you become a Blues city. I still remember 2010 and the feeling around the city with the Blackhawks and the Flyers in the Stanley Cup final and everything. Like, there were people that were captivated by that. People like parades. People like to see greatness and history made and their team doing it. So maybe that's all it takes. Maybe all it is that the Flyers will need to have that postseason success, and that's how you bring people in. Now, in contrast, right, I would argue that, and this is going to be blasphemous in the city, I'm sorry, but I would argue that baseball is on a rough trajectory to begin with nationwide, not necessarily in the city, where people who like baseball are still going to like baseball similar to hockey, but the regionalization is going to be increasing, and it's not as much America's pastime anymore as, you know, football. Or if it is, you know, okay, fine, but football's America's game or whatever it is, right? However, when the Astros situation comes out, widespread cheating, and you've got players speaking out on it, it has become the number one conversation in sports in the United States. That is, with the XFL relaunching, that's with March Madness right around the corner, that's with the All-Star Game and the dunk contest, and some people saying that it's the best All-Star weekend in like 5 or 6 years, right? There's a lot going on, and yet this is the number one thing in every single sports fan's mind. It's what's going on with the Houston Astros. Even if it didn't affect your team, which, by the way, I think it's kind of interesting that you know, the Phillies binocular gate has been brought up a fair amount as it's related to this particular situation, sign stealing and using technology and relaying and all that kind of stuff, right? It takes almost an existential crisis where, like, what is baseball going to look like moving forward in the event that these teams aren't punished? Is this just going to be a standard, like, oh yeah, every team does this, and because there's no big penalty for it, or there's no teams getting crushed, there's no players that are getting hit in the wallet or anything like that, that, you know, this kind of thing is just happening? Like, I thought about this. Some of the biggest stories in baseball, and I was trying to brainstorm them, right, before this came out, and it's like, Clayton Kershaw can't pitch in the postseason. There are like 3 or 4 pitchers in the last 18 months or 19 months who people have said, oh yeah, they're tipping pitches, right? And I'm wondering, how much of this is Astros related, right? Like, I know that there are times that Clayton Kershaw struggled in the postseason and wasn't playing the Astros. I know that. I get it. But he really had a tough time against the Astros. Like, how many guys have we seen with postseason struggles that really, like, don't do a whole lot, and then they have their signature performance in the Super Bowl or the World Series or whatever? You're telling me if Clayton Kershaw, you know, doesn't put together a couple of good series in the a couple of good games in the World Series against the Astros, that maybe his whole book gets rewritten? Now he's sitting there wondering how much of it was, wow, I'm really brutal in the postseason, versus this other stuff. You know, Yu Darvish and Tyler Glasnow and all these pitchers who were, you know, quote-unquote tipping pitches, right? Some of them are, and they said, oh yeah, I was able to identify what I was doing or whatever. And then there are probably going to be some pitchers that are like, I have no idea. I have no clue how I'm tipping my pitches. I try to be very methodical and mechanically sound and everything else to where everything gets duplicated. If they've had signs stolen the whole time, who knows what the implications of that are. And that's not even to mention the guys who the Astros hit around, who might have been just trying to hang on in the Dodgers and these other teams' bullpens, that are now selling insurance or real estate or something like that back home because their signs are getting stolen. Something to think about. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. It's the Joe Torti Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. We're hanging out until midnight, so plenty more action here as Dylan McKinnon is producing the program. Flyers with a big win over the Blue Jackets 5-1. Baseball world still shooketh by the Astros. LeBron James tweeting about it, and that was an interesting tweet talking about how if something like that happened to him, he's not responsible or couldn't control his actions. That's how angry he is. I said, bold move, LeBron, putting that in the universe. But hey, people are talking. Mike Trout talking about it. If Mike Trout talked more, he'd be the face of baseball. It just doesn't. But even him coming out and talking about how much of an impact this thing made on the game, like this sport is going through a dark time right now. And then, of course, We talked about the Eagles and Nigel Bradham as well. Plenty more action as we roll on until midnight. Let's go to Ryan in the Northeast next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing, boss?
Okay, how are you?
Good. You brought up the Phillies when they got caught cheating, you know?
Yes.
And I remember back then I crunched the numbers, and I don't have everything in front of me. But basically I traced it back to they got caught, I believe, May 10th of 2010 or May 10th of 2011.
Right, yes, after the World Series.
Oh, yeah. And Jim Tracy, I think, was managing the Rockies at the time. And the Phillies were coming off having about 8 guys in the All-Star game. And everybody was hitting, like, you know, close to 300 or above. And the Phillies took 2 out of 3 from them or something in Colorado. And he just snapped. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, you think they're so great, they're stealing signs, you know, which is like, kind of like as a coach, even when you know you're cheating, you kind of, you got to bite your tongue, you know what I mean?
Right, yep.
And you know, cheaters and thieves, they prey on that. They live off of people not wanting to look like a snitch or not wanting to look like a sore loser, you know what I mean?
Yep, I'm with you.
But the Phillies' numbers at that point, I remember, dropped almost 60 home runs a year, you know, which could have been some attrition, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also over 100 RBIs per year. And if you look back, like, none of them guys ever had a better year than they had prior to that. No matter whether they stayed with the Phillies or went to another team or, you know.
I'm with you. Yep. So are you saying that, like, that part, like, didn't matter, or that they didn't do it, or that they didn't get an advantage?
No, they had a major advantage, and I think it was painfully obvious, and I think that might have been why they were so reluctant to pay Worth so much money.
Sure.
And if you remember, Ibanez's first month here, he had like 20 home runs in his first month. I don't know if he had 20 home runs over the next year and a half. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I know what you're saying.
But, you know, one thing, like, I'm the type of person, I'm always very bitter about the Super Bowl with the Patriots because I feel like it robbed the legacy of a lot of our all-time greats, our all-time best quarterback, regardless of what you think of McNabb,
mm-hmm.
our best quarterback, our best coach, obviously our best defensive coordinator, Brian Dawkins, Trotter, all these guys that, you know, I revere. Even though I was older when they were playing, I wasn't like a little kid, you know?
Right.
But I respect it. I love that team, you know, and they deserved one, you know what I mean? And the Patriots robbed them of that, you know what I mean? Like, they probably set the wheels in motion for T.O. leaving because, you know, if they had won one, everybody would have been more happier whether he got paid or not. But when you lose, that's when people start, you know, complaining and all. So I just feel like that affected the Eagles, the Philadelphia sports scene,
mm-hmm.
in such a way that I despise the Patriots. I never give them any credit. And I'm not a hater. Like, I'm a diehard Sixers fan. I don't worry about the Celtics. I'm not that. I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I don't worry about the Cowboys. I just root for my team.
Sure.
I'm not the type of person that's a hater. But I did root for the Giants in both Super Bowls versus the Patriots, and that was fun. But, you know, because I like to call Tom Brady Eli's jeweler. You know what I mean?
Of course. Direct delivery.
What I'm saying is when people say stuff like, oh, well, you still got to hit the ball or you still got something like that, look, you're not talking about sending me up there and telling me what the pitch is.
Right.
You're talking about highly trained, skilled athletes knowing what's coming.
Well, I mean, it's, you see what crazy. Happens when, forget stealing signs, you see what happens to pitchers when they're tipping pitches. They get rocked.
They get hammered. And that's another thing, like, I'm sure there's more of this going on, you know what I mean? But, let's be honest, and I think you touched on it maybe the other night, the Astros, they were very arrogant, their front office.
Yes.
They were very arrogant about how they just had it all figured out. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 45 years old, and baseball is a game that you will never figure out. Because this sport has been around 200 years, and the numbers still level off almost the same, which is incredible to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No matter what changes go through, if you could get a hit 3 out of 10, you're good. And if it's 2 out of 10, you suck.
Yeah, that is you're right, Ryan. That is the God's honest truth, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. That is absolutely right. I don't know about you. I'm going to be looking at everything with the Astros now. Their pitching staff that good? You know, is their pitching coach that excellent that every pitcher who goes there has an increase in spin rate and velocity? And they really? It's just a technique kind of thing?
I mean, Verlander, his career was looking like it was taking a downturn. All of a sudden, he goes to the Astros. He has a career rebuff.
Yeah.
Weird.
You got him? That's strange. You got Gerrit Cole, like, walking, talking, never lived up to potential. All of a sudden turns into a pitcher who didn't lose a game for, like, what, D-Train, like 6 months? Was it Gerrit Cole didn't lose a game for six? I think it was, like, he didn't lose a game from, like, May 18th on or something like that. Look, I don't want to take anything away from those guys, but I'm just saying you open up the door for everything now. Like if you're going to be doing trash can musicals and stuff like that to be delivering signs and signals and stuff like that. Just saying. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Someone I kind of want to hear about, we haven't heard from on this. I want to hear from Brian McCann, Mr. Guardian of the Unwritten Rules in Baseball, who would chew players, other batters out if they took too long going around the bases. We haven't heard from him on this.
Yeah, very strange.
I mean, you'd think that the guy who is the biggest defender of unwritten rules would have a little bit of an issue with this type of cheating, but... It's weird we haven't heard from him, and it's weird that his home stats were so much better than his away stats.
Yeah, 300 batting average for McCann at home in the 2017 playoffs. 037 on the road. Super strange. Carlos Correa, 371 at home. 211 on the road. Everyone's favorite hitter, the guy who revolutionized the game, Jose Altuve, you know? 472 batting average. 143 on the road, 472 at home. You know that picture that everybody loves? The Altuve standing next to Aaron Judge. And it was super funny because Altuve is really short and Aaron Judge is really tall. It takes on a whole new meaning when you have to consider the possibility that Aaron Judge's MVP award was literally stolen from him by the guy standing next to him. Stings a little bit more. It's less funny when you look at that picture now. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. Rob Manfred's really has butchered this whole thing. Lots of people reaching out to us on Twitter, D, telling us that Flyers talk on the radio needs to happen more. Here's what I would say. And as a reminder, I'm a friend. I like hockey. They need to do, I've always said this, they need to do more to merit being talked about on the radio just because of the obstacles that they face in terms of popularity in the rest of the city relative to the other sports. They do. I'm sorry. It's not fair. But you know, like, if you, I can't believe that I had this example on my mind. Maybe I've just got it on the brain. If you get caught cheating on a test or something like that, in September, and when you were back in school, you can survive this. Like, it's way better than cheating on finals or midterms or something like that. You can talk your way out of it. You can say, oh, I'm so sorry. It was a misunderstanding, mistake, whatever. You can find a way. You can find a way to talk your way out of it. I'm sure that you can. You're smart people out there. But there's no margin for error the rest of the way. Like, you have a razor-thin path to walk now, and anything that you do that looks even close to not on the up-and-up is going to be assumed the worst because you've got, quote-unquote, a history. For the Flyers, they don't have to live up to the same standards as the Eagles or the Sixers or the Phillies in terms of being newsworthy because, unfortunately, they're not on the standing that some of these other teams are in the psyches of the casual sports fan in Philadelphia, the average guy in Philadelphia that you pull off the street. I love the Flyers fan base and how passionate it is. It's one of the best fan bases in hockey. But from a casual perspective, just grabbing man on the street, you ask him, you know, who Sean Couturier is and what position he plays and how he's doing this year, I think you'd find a little bit of a struggle. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard. It's the Joe Torti Show. Final segment is coming your way next. We'll take a walk around the program, figure out how we got here. We can get more of your phone calls in if you'd like. You got to hurry up, though. 610-632-0975. And, of course, one more thing coming your way right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Man, oh man. Watching, Combine stuff, and D-Train and I were talking about Henry Ruggs. Man, oh man, you talk about a guy who'd be a fit here. I'm like almost allowing myself to get my hopes up on Ruggs because I'm of two minds. One, I told D-Train, I think that he's going to run just really, really well at the Combine. And there are people, like I, for the record, I like Jerry Jeudy a lot. I never saw Jerry Jeudy being like a top four pick in the draft like some people did. It wouldn't surprise me to see Ruggs be the first wide receiver selected based on what he does at the Combine. So that would be, you know, top 10, top 12 at the absolute worst. And then, now to be fair, that pushes some nice wide receivers down towards the Eagles as well. But you talk about a perfect fit, it's Ruggs. So with 10 draft picks or whatever the Eagles have, you do wonder if there's any temptation, if there is a wide receiver selected before Ruggs, if they would, you know, try to package some stuff and move up, even with all their needs.
You had a point where you're almost rooting against the guy at the Combine. Like, yeah. Hope he just kind of underperforms and it's a surprise. People kind of cool off on him.
Or tweaking a hamstring or something. Nothing serious. Just doesn't want to push it. Doesn't want to run at the Combine. Stand by the tape. Because that's the other thing. He might be so fast, he's like, I'm standing by the tape. You know? And not even running the 40.
There are a couple like big name guys skipping the Combine. I forget who, but it's becoming something that's not really as strange.
Well, because the NBA, no one goes to the Combine. Like you don't see anyone at the NBA scouting Combine except the people that don't think they're going to get picked. Like those are the guys who show up. You do wonder how important the NFL scouting combine is going to be in terms of the on-field workouts. Like there might be people there that are saying, hey, I'll meet with teams and I'll talk to people and we'll review medicals and stuff like that if you want, but I'm not going to do the throwing. I'm not going to throw to people that I don't know. I'm not going to run with people. I don't, you know, all that other kind of stuff. Be lame. I'm one of the nerds that actually enjoys watching the combine, but it's one of the few reasons why I know who Chantrell Henderson is. But like the overall overarching theme of these guys starting to skip more and more, like we didn't think it would happen with bowl games, and it's happening with bowl games. So if it's happening with bowl games, you can bet that it's a possibility that right in the middle of the combine hype train, where it's like more combine coverage all the time, you're seeing more and more people be like, yeah, I'm not really down with that. That's not something that I think is going to help out my draft stock that much to the point where I need to do it. Instead, I'll just let my play on the field for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years speak for itself.
Like if you're someone like Joe Burrow, you have nothing to gain from going to the combine. You only risk you getting hurt.
Right.
If I'm him, I'm always saying like people are already basically guaranteeing I'm the number one pick. I'll do my pro day but I'm not going to go to the combine. I'll go and I'll interview, but I'm not going to.
You would do it on the field. Yeah. That's what I was. I think it would weird me out if a dude wasn't interviewing at the combine. Like, and I was thinking about taking him high. I think it'd be very strange. I'm not saying that I have to interview that guy, but if that guy is not interviewing with anyone, it would freak me out a little bit. It's a lot of money that you're committing to people who, more and more, you've absolutely got to be right about. All right, here we go. It is that time of the evening. Time for the often imitated, never duplicated, the one, the only, one more thing.
But there is one more thing.
Yeah, there sure is one more thing. This one comes to us from Big D, the Dallas Cowboys. And we've got this conversation about Jason Witten hoping to play another season with Dallas. He's 37 years old. He said that he doesn't want to talk retirement just yet. And he said he wants to return to the NFL this season. He's open to playing for other teams, but he would prefer to play for the Dallas Cowboys. I see this, and I thought, wow. My first thought was Jason Witten so bad at broadcasting that he wants to put it off for like another year, get even further removed from the Monday Night Football fiasco. Was he that useful last year? I mean, Blake Jarwin was the starting tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. Does Jason Witten want to be one of these guys who's just like hanging around until he's 40, like lurking on rosters?
He was a lot better last year than I thought. I thought he was going to be completely useless. But you saw a couple times where he made that Witten-esque play where they need a play. He gets a big first down. He had a couple touchdowns. He still had something to offer. He's not Jason Witten anymore, like the best tight end in the league, but
it's okay. He's serviceable. Okay. Would you, if you were not the Eagles who have two tight ends, would you consider signing Jason Witten if you're another team, or is this a Dallas Cowboys exclusive kind of situation?
I don't know if I'd do it if I was another team.
I don't think so.
If I'm the Cowboys, I'd keep him because, I mean, he's a guy, he's a leader in the locker room. He's someone who can help in the locker room, and he clearly had some type of relevance on the field last year, but who knows what he'd be like in another system.
Yeah, it's interesting. And familiarity doesn't always mean that it's the best thing either. For example, I was reading another thing about Joe Burrow today, and he was talking about how he has leverage over the Bengals and how he does it like, this is the quote. He says, "I do have leverage. They have their process and I have my process. We haven't even gotten to the combine yet. There are a lot of things that happened leading up to this draft and a lot of information gathered." Let me say this. I hope that Joe Burrow has this forethought, right? Going number one in the draft would be super cool. You know what's way better than that? Being in the right situation for you, right? I think that anyone would say that Phillip Rivers is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. But in hindsight, the Eli Manning move to be like, hell no, I'm not going to play in San Diego. You give me the opportunity to play somewhere that I want to play. Two Super Bowls later, it is clearly paid off for Eli Manning. I hope that Joe Burrow doesn't get lost in the stars of, oh my gosh, it's going to be so amazing to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. It's a dream come true. Versus, wait, I'm going to be married to the Cincinnati Bengals here moving forward. I don't know if that's something that would excite me if I'm Burrow.
And it's not like it's something that hurts you PR-wise long-term. No one ever criticizes Eli for doing that. No one ever criticizes Kobe. He did the same thing. He's like, I'm not going here. You send me to the Lakers. And it worked out for him.
John Elway?
Yeah.
I'll go back to Stanford. I'll play baseball.
If you do that and you're good and you win where you go, no one's going to care long-term.
That's exactly right. Man, oh man, pulling Eli Manning. That would be just so sad for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I would argue so excellent for the league. Example, we were talking about this with another quarterback. Isn't it infinitely more interesting if instead of Cincinnati, he ends up in Detroit or a team that's got like something as opposed to the Bengals that kind of have nothing? All right, there it is. I guess that's one and a half more things because we were talking about Joe Burrow. But I appreciate you guys humoring me. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in. My co-host for the evening, really appreciated mixing it up with you guys, especially the Flyers faithful. Just so you know, you're a hockey fan out there, you've got a friend in me. Anytime, I'm going to reach out on Twitter. You want to call up, talk some hockey, some pucks and sticks. It'll be great. Be a good time. Thank you very much to Dylan McKinnon. Outstanding job producing. Thank you very much. I will be back on the airwaves tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I'll go with Devon Givens from 8 until 10 p.m. And then I will continue on solo until midnight. Everybody have a great night. Stay safe out there. This has been the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.